weeks. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Andy Breckman Man, Andy Breckman Man, always giving out the number so you can call the show.
Welcome to the 7 second delay. Andy Breckman is with me, but he's checking his voicemail. Anything good on your voicemail there?
It's all good.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Veronica would call.
Oh, yeah, she's mad at you. She's mad at me, too, but she's especially mad at you.
How could it be otherwise? She's mad because we didn't tell her the truth.
Right.
We were a bit disingenuous last week about the topic of the show.
Well, you were.
We were afraid she would warn my wife Beth that the real topic was revolved around Beth.
Right.
Tricking Beth into calling.
And you, of course, thought that Veronica would tell Beth because Beth is a woman and Veronica is a woman.
Yeah, it'd be that sisterhood thing.
Yeah.
So how can I make things up to Veronica? The only thing I could think of.
$500.
That's a lot.
I think.
We can get it. I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be cash. $500 gift card to Home Depot.
How about a pretty hat?
No.
Women love. Let me tell you something about women. They love pretty hats.
No, I don't think that's going to wash with Veronica. Veronica's our producer, by the way, and writes our weekly email newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that.
A lot of people have no reason to realize that.
Yeah, we've never explicitly said it.
No one was curious. No one was wondering who writes the newsletter.
Well, one guy was.
You know what I should do with Veronica?
What?
I think Otis Redding has a lesson for all guys, and me in particular. I should try a little tenderness.
Yeah, good idea. Take her out to dinner.
Nah, I'll do the pretty hat thing. Nah, I'll just wait for her to cool off. How long can she be mad at me? How long can anyone be mad at me? You want to stay mad at me, but you can't. I'm irresistible.
I don't know about that.
I'd like to see someone stay mad at me. It'd be an interesting experiment. It can't be done. Hey, Josh had the funniest idea for a show. I remembered it too late. We should have done it tonight.
Your son, Josh. Uh-huh.
My son, Josh. the idea would be a contest. It would be some kind of contest, maybe a rock and roll trivia contest or something. You'd have to answer questions, you know, music questions or whatever, whatever you think your area of expertise might be.
Uh-huh.
And the worse you do on the quiz, the worse table you'll get at Molly's bat mitzvah. We'll just keep moving you down from one cool table to the least cool table.
But then you'll have to invite all the listeners to Molly's bat mitzvah.
Why? Why? No, we just move you and Hank down.
Oh, I see. I see. The worse I do.
Yeah, the worse you do. Yeah, we would just move you down until you're at the kids' table.
Well, there's a fatal. See that? There's the fatal flaw.
You'd start at the cool table, then you'd end up at Uncle Dinky's table.
No, I want to be at the kids' table. You don't understand. There's no place I'd
then
rather.
Then you won't end up there. You'll be with Uncle Dinky. You'll be between Uncle Dinky and his new wife.
But if I do really well, I can stay at the kids' table.
You want to be at the kids' table?
I do want to be at the kids' table.
Fine.
It's way better than being at the adults' table.
Easier to sell them drugs.
That. There's that.
Hey, have you seen Uncle Ken? Where's Uncle Ken?
There's many advantages. The conversation is better at the kids' table.
I really need to find Andy's friend Ken. That'll be every 13-year-old there. He's around back. He's in the parking lot.
Uncle Ken.
Yeah, Uncle Ken. Yeah, everybody's going to get well. Uncle Ken will be here soon.
But then conversely, if I do really bad,
yeah,
I'll get further and further away from the kids' table.
Yeah.
Until I'm out the door, right?
Until you're right behind the band.
Cool.
You're going to love the band.
What's the band?
It's a local band. They're called My Brother's Penis.
Your brother David?
No, that's the name of the band. That's the name of the band. They have a name. It's a kind of a catchy name. Memorable. You're not going to forget it.
I'm not going to forget it, but how does your daughter
feel?
They
do all the standards.
Like what?
I don't know.
Penis testicle dance party?
You know what? Now that you're saying this, I know you're making a joke, but it does make me want to check their set list.
I think you should.
I think I should, too. They come really cheap. You know what? Now that you're talking, now that we're talking out loud, I really am starting to have second thoughts.
They're probably paying you to perform there, aren't they?
It's a pretty sweet deal. And now I'm thinking maybe they don't have, you know, they don't have really the resume we were looking for.
And how does your 13-year-old daughter feel about the fact that this band called My Brother's Penis is playing her once-in-a-lifetime bat mitzvah?
We haven't told her.
You haven't told her yet.
Thank God she doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah. I think you should tell her right away.
You'll be sitting right behind the drummer, you and Hank. You have a little table there.
Are they a four-piece?
It's a power trio.
I should have known.
Yeah. No, if you're a fan of My Brother's Penis, you might want to come on down and check him out.
Where else?
They do weddings.
Where else can I see him?
Oh, I don't know. Now I'm beginning to suspect this is their first gig ever.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, now you make me want to go. If I can sit behind My Brother's Penis and maybe spend some time at the kids' table, sell a couple of eighths,
Brothers.
I'm there.
Boy, we're funny. It's great to be so funny, isn't it?
It's a curse.
It's a gift and a curse. But people need to laugh now more than ever.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hey, did you hear what happened in Houston? The flood?
I did.
Beth was telling me. Big storm came in.
Yep.
Yeah, Beth was telling me it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, Beth was saying a lot of people's houses destroyed, ruined, lost forever.
Yeah, perhaps the worst natural disaster in the United
States.
Yeah,
Beth was telling me it's pretty serious. No joking matter.
The water's up to the streetlight lamps.
Yeah, and some, yeah. Yeah, Beth was telling me that some streetlights are almost gone, out of sight from the water level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
50 inches of rain.
Beth said
50 inches of rain.
Beth said the pictures are just horrific.
So you all of the information you're getting about Hurricane Harvey is coming from your wife, Beth.
Yeah, Beth said it was called Harvey. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty serious stuff.
Well, if people want to help, they can
Beth said there's no way to help. Beth said there's nothing you can do.
No, there's a lot that people can do.
All I could think of is, now this is just, I'm not an expert, but maybe our listeners, our female listeners, if they have tampons, tampons that
what the
haven't
hell
been
it,
used.
What would it
well, they absorb, or sponges, they absorb the water. We could ship them down there. Just
a
thought. I'm thinking just out loud.
I don't think there's
spitballing.
There's no postal service in the entire area.
Could airdrop them or something. Big cartons of tampons.
Okay. And then the tampons would absorb the
water.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. I'm not an engineer.
And then what do the Houstonites do?
Huh? With what?
With the fully absorbed tampons.
Well, that's a problem that they would pray to have, isn't it? What do we do with these big tampon wads? That's not a bad problem. You'd get trucks. You'd truck them out to Corpus Christi, dump them there.
Ah.
Pass the buck.
Okay.
Look, you won't worry about that. Look, at least I'm in there. At least I'm not just, whoa, looking at the pictures. Oh, there's nothing we can do. At least I'm in there trying, man.
So your plan
I'm pitching some ideas. It's not a perfect plan. It's a plan. It's something.
It is a plan. We airdrop tampons into Houston.
And look, we have how many women listen to our show? 8, 9?
At least.
A dozen?
Yeah.
A dozen?
Yep.
They've all got tampons.
Spare tampons.
Spare tampons?
Yep.
That's 20. I guess that's not enough.
Yeah, but we can't
airdrop a couple dozen tampons. That won't make a dent.
No, you would.
From what Beth is telling me.
No, you would need billions of tampons.
Billions of tampons.
Billions of tampons.
But it starts with us. It starts with one person.
Right.
Damn it, Ken. You make me so mad. At least I'm in there. At least I'm trying.
I'm supportive.
God, you make me mad.
I'm supportive of your idea.
Or sponges. Everyone has sponges. Sponges in the garage. Old sponges.
Your idea.
Sponges under the sink.
Shipping them off to Corpus Christi. That's the linchpin. That's because you have to get rid of them. Otherwise,
yeah.
Instead of waiting around in water, you're
the like, idea would be don't tell Corpus Christi it's coming.
Right.
That's the most important part. They won't be happy.
Corpus Christi is flooded also.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm, that won't work.
Yeah. You could ship them to Austin, Dallas.
Hey, what rock songs? Name three rock songs that have Houston in the lyrics.
There's the band, Goodbye Houston.
Okay. Promised Land, Chuck Berry. Right? Right? Got to get to Houston Town.
Yep.
Some folks down there that care a bit about me. Won't let the poor boy down. There's The Long Run by the Eagles.
No.
Those debutantes down in Houston.
I don't think they're saying
yeah,
that.
I think
they're talking. No.
Don Henley, yep.
Nope.
Those are the only three, by the way.
Only three songs?
Well, now there's a new one, Tampons to Houston, that I'm going to write.
You're going to record it?
Yeah, well, because every cause needs some kind of anthem.
I can help you out with some band members. I bet you a little Matty Warwick will play on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be honored.
He probably would.
You know, just pitching in to help the victims of, or the survivors of Hurricane Harvey. It's a great idea. Your tampon idea is golden.
I don't know if it'll work. I honestly don't know where, but at least I'm trying. My heart goes out to him, and I'm trying.
I think people might want to just donate to the Houston Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might ultimately be better.
Mm-hmm.
But they could send tampons down there as well. Oh, but there's no postal delivery.
Yeah, Beth was telling me it's pretty serious.
Yeah. But you have experience with floods, I understand. You've become kind of a prepper, haven't you?
I don't know what that means.
Hurricane Sandy, you have a generator in your garage. You have a lot of gasoline.
And I guess that's more in case of a blackout. We live up on a hill. We can keep you people at bay.
Uh-huh.
You know, come the cleansing.
Yeah.
Do
you have guns?
Keep you out of the bunker. We may have guns.
You may have guns. How many?
We may have guns.
How many guns do you have?
We may have a dozen guns.
I know you have guns.
I think your job in case of, you know, a post-apocalyptic, you know, problem, your job is to, I think, that you stay in Hoboken, Ken. And
shelter in place?
You worry about shelter in place. You worry about your boiler. You worry about your basement flooding. You've got your own problems. You stay away from me.
You and your guns and your gasoline and your generator.
We've stocked up on gasoline. We've stocked up on tampons in case of flooding.
Uh-huh. What the hell are we going to do tonight? Oh, yeah, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, now, I have not been watching Game of Thrones. It's not my genre. Are you a fan?
I'm a big fan, yep.
And I'm wondering if it's too late for me to hop in. I know season 6 or 7 just ended, right?
Yeah, season 7 just ended, the first half of season 7.
So is it too late for a guy like me to hop in, to catch up?
No.
It's not?
No.
Can you tell me what I've missed?
Yeah, well, I'd like our listeners to tell you what you've missed.
I guess you'd have to start at the beginning. Wait, is it set in medieval times? I don't know the first thing about this. Is it set in medieval times or just some parallel universe?
It's a parallel universe. There's a continent called Westeros.
Yeah. Oh, I'm already kind of. Yeah. I already want to hit you.
Winter doesn't come every year.
Oh, it's like Camelot.
Winter comes, I don't know, every 50-100 years or something like that.
Yeah.
There's magic. There's a lot of magic.
So in that sense, it's very much like WFMU.
Yeah.
So wait. It's set in this parallel universe, but right. It's like medieval, like the weapons are medieval weapons.
Yes. Except there's dragons.
Oh, there's dragons. Do the dragons fly?
Wow. Yes, the dragons fly. They breathe fire. They're zombies.
Are the dragons evil or good?
They're good if...
Hold on. Let's start at the beginning. Let's say I really want to catch up.
Okay.
Who is the hero of this tale?
A guy...
Like, who do you identify with?
Well, I think a lot of people identify different people. One of the heroes is a guy named Jon Snow.
Jon Snow. Is he... And he's like a regular guy? He's a civilian?
Yeah, well, now he's become... He was a kind of a regular guy, although he was...
What was he doing when we met Jon Snow?
He was the bastard child of the king when we first met him. So he was part of the king... No, sorry, not the king. The king of the north. He was in a somewhat royal family, but he was a bastard, so he wasn't full-blooded.
And why would you call him the protagonist of this story?
Because now it's been revealed that he is the true heir to the throne.
Okay, and then I know there's incest, because I see some headlines.
Tons of it.
Is it brother-sister incest? Is it father-daughter incest?
No, there's brother-sister incest.
Yeah.
And then there's aunt-nephew incest involving Jon Snow, as a matter of fact.
And then I understand there's a lot of nudity.
Well, there was. Not so much anymore. They took so much crap for all the gratuitous nudity that they've cut down on it. Now the nudity is very meaningful.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. Hey, we have a call. It's.
I can't believe we have a call. I just need people to explain this throne. Wait, what is it?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah. To me from the beginning. So by 7 o'clock, I'll be able to. I'll feel caught up.
Yeah, Marcel, you're on the air. Fill Andy in.
Hey guys. All right. So it's all about this elf named Mordor who has this.
No, it's
magical
not.
Necklace, and he has to kill this hobo named Bilbo.
You're talking like some ersatz Lord of the Rings thing. This isn't
No. This is the Game of Thrones.
So there's elves. There's elves. So this
to,
elf
find Bob.
So this elf has a mission, but who gave him this mission?
Sauron.
And
he has to kill all the hobos.
But why?
One
what
is named Bilbo?
But what threat does Bilbo pose? Now I'm confused.
He wants to take the necklace and use it for his own evil.
Oh, but Bilbo wants to take the
necklace. Mordor, the elf, is good.
So there's a powerful necklace.
Yes.
I must have missed this episode. I haven't been watching
and,
religiously.
It's weird that they use hobos.
Yeah.
Since it's.
Yeah,
but
that sounds
anyway.
it sounds very current, hobos. I mean, it sounds very earthbound.
Yeah, but you know, I guess that's what modern television is like high art.
So what is the
you can do anything now.
What is the elf's time. What is the elf's relationship to Jon Snow?
I think it's his nephew's cousin.
The hobos are actually known as the Brotherhood Without Banners.
Right. Yeah.
They're kind
I've read
of like
that.
Mercenary hobos. I wouldn't really describe them as hobos.
Now, what is the appeal of it? You're not a stupid guy, Ken. What is the appeal of this to you?
I'm surprised at you, Andy. Usually, if something's popular and successful, you are down with it.
Yeah, this is just sounds like it's insanity.
Okay, bye, Marcel.
It's just random characters doing random things and occasionally women exposing their breasts. Like, what is the appeal of it to you? Seriously. Is the appeal of it you want to discuss it with your peers at the water cooler on Monday? You don't want to be left behind? Here's my question. If nobody else was watching Game of Thrones, would you be as into it?
No.
Or is the fact that it's a cultural phenomenon makes it more fun?
Well, no, I started watching it early on because the problem was my family was all reading the books. And they would talk incessantly about the books. And I was completely left out. I was an outcast. So
you didn't want to read the books because I know there are no pictures.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of words.
No nudity at all in the books. Yeah. The nudity is described, but as you say, no pictures.
Right, so here comes HBO.
So I saw my chance to, you know, worm my way back into my own family, to be accepted again, to become one of the clan.
I would say, just from what you've told me so far about the show, it's not worth it.
You're a big time television writer, and yet you have nothing but disdain for the most popular show on TV.
201-209-9368. It's just not my genre. I just can't identify with it. I don't know what the appeal is.
Well, it's got great characters, great dialogue.
But the character, how do you relate to any of these characters? He's the bastard son of some, like, how, he has nothing in common with you or me.
Then there's the dwarf.
Yeah, what's the dwarf do?
The dwarf, Tyrion, started off as a drunken, whoring lush.
Yeah.
But he's developed. He's really developed into a very serious, strategic mind.
And what is the goal of, like, Jon Snow now? What does he want? Every protagonist should have a goal. Every hero has a quest. What is his goal?
He wants to defeat the army of the dead.
Like zombies.
There's an army of zombies.
Are they slow zombies or fast zombies?
They are. It's a great question. I guess they're slow zombies. Yeah, they're not like the 28 days super fast zombies.
So if I tune in, if I tune into the second half of season 7, what's the minimum I need to know? Jon Snow, is he in love with someone? Does he have a relationship with someone?
Yeah, he just, his aunt. He's banging his aunt now.
And what is the big revelation that everyone was so surprised by this last month?
That he's banging his aunt.
That's the big revelation?
And that he's the true king. That he's not a bastard at all.
I see. So he's going to work his way up the line and then ascend to the throne. That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really care whether he becomes king or not.
And
I only
now, would you enjoy it with the sound down? Do you just love the visuals as well?
Oh no, no. You need the sound. You need the dialogue.
And is it like multiple threads? Is it cut from one story to another to another to another?
Oh yeah, tons and tons of stories. Yeah, a lot of different subplots.
Do you watch it with Hank?
I do.
Is there any way I could talk you out of watching it?
No.
I'd rather you not watch it anymore.
Well, I mean, it's not going to air again for 2 years, so.
Please don't watch it anymore.
If you really don't want me to watch it anymore, I won't. That's how much I love you, Andy.
201-209-9368. I don't know what the hell we're talking about. What are we talking about?
You wanted to be caught up on Game of Thrones.
But you haven't helped at all. Here's all I know. There's Jon Snow. He began as some outcast bastard son, and now somehow it's revealed he's the rightful heir.
Right.
Did that involve, how was that revealed? Did he have to kill someone to get that information?
No, his half-brother became the three-eyed raven, meaning he was like clairvoyant.
His half-brother?
Yeah. His half-brother, Bran, who's paralyzed, just gets, like, dragged around on a sled, has now become...
So there's comedy.
Yeah, has now become this magical creature called the Three-Eyed Raven. and he can see the past and see the future anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he figured it out.
Yeah.
By visiting the right places at the right time.
Yeah. How long has this been going on? How could I have missed this?
Yeah.
The paralyzed brother became a three-eyed raven.
Three-eyed raven.
So it's just random. These writers are just sitting there.
No, it's
the
not
Game of
random.
Thrones random.
It's not.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones writers' room is just, wouldn't this baffle them? Let's do this. This makes no sense. That's kind of the vibes I'm getting. This is just weird for weirdness' sake. Let's do this.
No, it's not weird for weirdness' sake. It's fantasy. You admit you just don't like fantasy. I generally don't like it either.
Were you into it from the first season?
Yeah. Yeah, from the first episode. But I had no interest in watching it. It's just that I had become an outcast in my own home. That's why I started watching it. That's all. If you can fill Andy in on what's been going on better than I can, because I'm obviously not doing a very good job.
201-209-9368. I guess my question is what... just about the storytelling. Like, what is the appeal of it? What's the hook to it? Most fantasies, like, okay, The Wizard of Oz, you had Dorothy Gale.
Uh-huh.
She's an earthling. She's a human. You relate to her. You identify with her. She's a teenage girl. She has going through problems on the farm. You identify with her. Your heart, you know, you want to go on the journey with her. She has a very, very definite goal. She wants to get home. Even though it's a fantasy, even though the characters are fantastic and otherworldly, it's at least there's a linear story. I just don't understand. It obviously has some appeal. It's obviously they're doing something right. I just would love someone to explain it to me.
Yeah, well, I'm failing miserably. So if you can explain it.
You're not failing miserably. You're failing very, very well. 201-209-9368.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, you love the show.
I wanted to fill Ken in on Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Am I on the air right now?
You are. You're on the air right now.
Isn't that exciting?
But I've been watching, so you need to fill Andy in.
All right, so here's the thing, right? The show is based off of the writer George R. R. Martin. He was really into, like the War of Roses and, like, all these English wars, which I have no idea about, but... basically, you know, the appeal for me is that these people are in these medieval times, but their problems are so, like, I mean, aside from the incest, their problems are very, like, relatable. And the characters as well in the books and also in the show. Everything is just, I don't know. And fantasy is not my genre either, but I do have to say, I mean...
Is Jon Snow the character that you identify with?
Absolutely not, no.
Oh, what character do you identify with? What character do you care about?
I would say probably, I don't know, Jaime Lannister. He's like...
Identify with Arya.
No, Arya's good too. You know, George R. R. Martin actually based Arya off Batman because, like, Batman lost both of his parents and, like, he's just like this... badass, basically.
Yeah, Arya's the coolest. She's an assassin.
Yeah, she is sweet. Ken, you know, I really
she's like a 10-year-old assassin girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe she's like 11 or 12 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how could I be missing this? Wow.
All right, thanks, caller.
I defy anyone that's any Game of Thrones guy to find a way to hook me, to interest me. Like, so far, this 10-year-old, 12-year-old assassin, I'm not sure that is doing it.
Uh-huh.
I just need a reason to watch.
Okay, people can come back from the dead.
That's something. It's a good trick, parlor trick.
I mean, not everybody. Most people can't.
I like to do magic, too, at parties.
Every once in a while, somebody can come back from the dead.
Is there any rhyme or reason to it? Does it just happen randomly?
Yes, the Lord of Light has to will it, Andy.
Ken, I just want to give you a big hug right now.
Stephen in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
All right, guys. So in terms of the writing, I would say that it started out as a lot of Machiavellian, very complex, like stabbing in the back and just total politics that And gradually, little bits of magic came in from the perimeters, and the magic got bigger and bigger and started, like, disrupting the politics until now the magic is, like, basically throwing the politics into utter chaos.
Did that get you, Andy?
Say it again. It began as like a, you know, back Roman a political
like
intrigue.
Like the Machiavellian politics of the Renaissance.
I see.
Or Rome.
And then with lots of gratuitous nudity.
Yeah.
A bit.
And then
it was mostly incest and prostitution in the beginning.
Right. And then the show has evolved into what?
Well, the because it's a fantasy, there's magic, and the magic has crept in from the south. Crept in, the white, the dead who are sort of like winter dead, and the dragons, which are southern fire, are like creeping in from the edges, and now it's got to the point where they're about to meet, and they're throwing all the politics into utter disarray.
And how many different storylines are there?
I don't know.
45.
17, yeah. And what was that a lot of very favorite characters would be following their story, and all of a sudden they're off. They're dead.
Yeah,
and right.
They get killed.
Wait a minute. This is not supposed to happen in fantasy. It's like this person just got his throat slit. This was like the best character.
But Jon Snow has survived.
He's one of the ones who survived, yeah. He actually was killed, and his men killed him, but he fought back from the dead.
Dear God. So there are no rules at all in this universe.
No, there are. There are
I can see why fans of FMU dig it.
No, there's lots of rules. Tons of rules.
Yeah.
Tell me the rule. Tell me one rule that is involute, that has not been broken in the world of Games of Thrones. One rule.
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking anybody.
Okay.
Well, the dead are not dead.
If the dead die in the north at the hands of the White Walkers, who are sort of like...
You got to speak up. Can you speak up?
I'm sorry. So the dead, if you die in the... At the hands of super zombies.
So here's the rule. Here's the rule of the universe. If you die at the hands of super zombies,
you become a dead soldier.
You become a dead soldier.
You become a white. Yeah.
You become a white. And that rule has not been broken.
Nope.
That's correct. And if
that's settled law,
the White Walker who turned a bunch of people into zombies.
Yeah.
They all disintegrate. So there's these power zombies and the sort of like ragtag disintegrating zombies.
I don't care. What do you hope happens in the last... This is the last season?
We're heading into the last
coming
season.
Coming up,
yeah.
Yes.
And what do you hope happens? Do you have like
I just hope we get to the end of it soon because I love it, but I'm tired of having to watch it.
Well, we hope that the evil queen Cersei gets killed.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I'm leaving it open. I figure the writers have done enough in terms of good surprises and not doing what you expect.
But Cersei,
you expect what they've done.
But Cersei might get killed, might not get killed. It sounds like it doesn't matter because there's nothing at stake. It's all just random fantasy.
Well, no, I'm just giving you details. There's a whole framework. The magic.
If Jon Snow died, well, Jon Snow can't die now, right?
Well, I think he could die. You know.
Do you think Jon Snow could die, Ken?
He could. Yeah.
How could he die?
They'd kill him.
Stabbed in the heart again. I don't know.
Somebody in the writers' room could do a little clog dance, and woof! There he is. He's back.
Right, they killed him once.
Wave a little writer's room magic pixie dust.
They did kill him once.
That's true of any screenplay, I think.
That's not true of any screenplay.
What?
No, that's not true of 99.999% of the most screenplays follow natural law.
Oh, natural law, yeah, but this is not a screenplay about natural law. It's a screenplay about magic. But they've done a pretty good job, I think.
Well, apparently they're doing something right. I'm jealous. I'll admit that.
Well, it's very compelling.
I've never written anything with that kind of buzz or cultural impact.
So all this hostility is born out of jealousy.
Sure, right? Of course. Yeah. Well, duh.
Okay.
Duh. Of course, I'm bitter and resentful.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, well,
what is this? This is our first date? Hello?
I think 16 million people watched the episode on Sunday.
Damn.
16 million.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing something right.
Yep.
But it doesn't make sense to me. But I'm jealous. 201-209-9368. Hey, thanks for calling, pal.
Sure.
Hang up on him.
Done. Hung up on him, but you didn't
That's
like him?
That's how you do it. And I loved him.
Okay.
I loved him. I love all our listeners. I just told them I loved all our listeners.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for calling. You love the show.
I do love the show. It's awesome.
That means the world to us, doesn't it, Kenny?
Yes, more to me than you.
Yeah, because I don't mean a word I say.
Right.
Hey, so what is the appeal of Game of Thrones? How can I get into it? What's in it for me?
The thing is, it's addictive because there's all these twists and turns, but they leave you cliffhangers each night. So you want, I got to see it next week. I got to see it. So it just gets addictive, and the more you watch, the more you have to find out what's going on.
But cliffhangers only work if you care about the characters.
Yeah, but you have to invest some time. Once you feel like you're invested, I think it might be, you know, I'm not into dragons, you know, and so it's got appeal.
So it's like marriage in that way. Once you've invested some time, it's easier to just go with it.
Exactly. You're hooked. You're committed.
It's like any relationship.
There's no way out
now. Exactly. Okay. Well, then I'll have to avoid it by all costs, then.
Now, people are telling you on Jon Snow things that happened later. Can I tell you something that happened early to him?
Yeah, get me interested in Jon Snow. Make me care.
Early on Jon Snow's character, there was drug use. And the wizards, they would go to wizards and grind some kind of plant, and then they'd smoke it. Ken will tell you it's not weed, but they'd smoke this unknown thing, and they'd get spaced out and get topless and supposedly have sex, but then it just gets gratuitous after a while. So it's
Do you remember those scenes, Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those scenes.
Yeah.
So I hope that didn't turn you off of it.
No, I walked in on Ken masturbating to those scenes once.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye bye. Thanks, Rem.
Oh, that was my friend Ren.
That was Rem. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Elda, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
You love the show.
Okay, so there is a Dorothy in Game of Thrones.
There's someone to identify Daenerys. With? Okay.
Daenerys was the daughter of the crazy king.
That's right, the Mad King.
Who was murdered and was dragged into the south by her sicko brother, who sold her off to some crazy guy, but the guy really loved her. So when the brother was abusing her, the husband killed him.
Yeah, by pouring gold on his head.
And
like
she,
that's like Goldfinger.
She's the one who has the dragon.
That's how Goldfinger killed his girls. So wait, so you're saying there was a normal woman that you could identify with early on in Game of Thrones?
Yes, Daenerys. Yep.
Daenerys. And then what was Daenerys's fate?
She was a normal girl who was under extreme circumstances when she was young, not as young as Dorothy, but
I understand.
Young.
And what was her fate? Is she still with us?
Oh, yeah.
She's still with us. She has two of the three dragons. One of them got killed last...
What the
in
hell are you
the
talking?
...episode before this.
You mean there are only three dragons?
Yeah, there's but one of them got turned into a zombie dragon.
Dear God. Dear God, you guys got to get out of the house.
Killed one
Dear
of the dragons,
God.
But she is the woman in the movie in the show that really captures the hearts of probably many women. I don't know about
Oh, I see.
I
now,
she's
And she's the one who's banging Jon Snow now. She's Jon Snow's aunt. Only they don't know.
Jon Snow doesn't know that.
They don't know. Neither does Daenerys. They're banging each other. They don't even know they're related. How cool is that?
How cool is that, really?
Yeah.
Zero. If you're really, unless it's a rhetorical question, there's an answer. Zero. That's how cool it is. How cool is that?
Well, it's not.
That
cool,
the aunt is having sex with the nephew and neither one knows. Yeah. How cool
that
is that?
Yeah, I
can't wait. I don't know if I'm hooked yet, but it's good to know there's a female character that women find that women identify with. And I'm sorry that she looks like she's in for a real heartbreak, right? When she learns it's her nephew.
Probably.
She's pretty powerful. Yeah, I don't know. She's,
does she have magic powers?
Also, by the way,
the
dwarf, he lives up here in the Hudson Valley.
Dear God. Oh, you mean the actor?
Oh, Peter Dinklage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
But let me ask you this. Isn't this true, and Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, that in the next installment of Game of Thrones, anything can happen. If there was a flying pink moose.
No.
Flying in with spraying pixie dust. Well, why no? I've got to hear this. Why no? Why would that break some rule?
Because
everything else goes.
No, there's no history.
You got dragons and zombies and...
Well, it's been established for a long time that there are dragons and zombies. It's never
Well, now
been...
here's Minky the flying moose. Who cares? Who's to say no?
Because there's an internal logic to it. You're acting.
There's an internal logic.
It's all about power and politics.
You know who I think is going to end up on the throne? Minky the pink flying moose.
There's no flying mooses.
There could be, is my point.
No, there could not be.
How can you say there cannot be? There are no rules to this universe.
There are a lot of rules to the universe.
Did it begin? Wait, weren't you surprised the first time someone came back from the dead?
No, it was kind of...
The first time, not the first episode, the fourth or fifth episode
well,
or whatever it was.
Somebody came back from the dead, you had this other guy who's also a very likable character who was this heavyset guy. I don't remember the character's name.
Beric Dondarrion,
But he takes in this woman who's being held by a wild walker who are some of the people who live in the north. And he kills a white walker with a piece of glass. And
Dragon glass, Andy.
Mellow, easygoing guy who has, you know, goes in and studies all these books in the library and now he's decided to find Jon Snow and go back on that quest to help.
He can't fight,
but he's smart.
The least likely character who have been able to kill a white walker.
Yeah.
And
hey, you know what was good?
Expected it.
The Great Gatsby. That was a good book.
Encounter with the white walkers.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Thanks, Elda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'm glad that in hindsight that F. Scott Fitzgerald cut the magic flying dragon.
You're
the
just
Great
jealous.
Gatsby.
You're just so jealous.
I wish I was at HBO when they first pitched this thing. Just wanted to be in the room.
Oh, it was an incredibly popular series of books.
Yeah, I guess it had, it was...
It wasn't just
from
pitched.
The novels.
Yeah, it was from the novels.
Hey, guess what I have in common with George Martin?
What? George Martin?
The author of Game of Thrones. Isn't that his name?
George L.L. Martin,
L.L. Martin, yeah. I have something in common with him.
What is it?
Can you guess? I think we're the only two professionals I think he's the only other professional working that I have this in common with in
what
the business. You'll have to guess.
Neither one of you likes pink mooses.
Well, you have to wait till the next chapter of Games of Thrones. But that's not it. But it's actually pretty significant and important to both of us.
What is it?
I can't tell you. You have to guess. See if people can guess.
You have something in common with George L.L. Martin.
Yes.
Well, you both live in New Jersey.
Okay, there's that, although we're not alone. No, this is something that he and I are in a very exclusive club of two.
Hmm.
And I'll give you a hint. It used to be an exclusive club of three, but William F. Buckley died, and it became an exclusive club of two. That's your hint.
So you, George L. L. Martin, and William F. Buckley...
Had something in common.
Had something in common.
But it's very important to all of us.
You've all had big fights with Gore Vidal.
No. Not that I can recall.
Okay.
But George Martin has given interviews about this subject.
Wow.
And that's how important it is to him. And it's a club with two members left now that William Buckley died.
Only you and George L.L. Martin belong to this club.
Yes, after William Buckley died. We're the only two that have this in common.
William Buckley, the conservative...
Yes, the publisher and writer.
National Review guy.
Yes.
Okay. Huh. Hmm. I don't know. But Paul from Rawway's on the air. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for calling. You love the show.
Got this angle yet? But I think you'll appreciate that there's a character there that you can empathize with.
Someone I can identify with. I'm looking forward. Is it a big bald Jewish guy?
Very much so. There is a gentleman there named Varys.
Varys.
Is very witty.
Witty.
Funny.
Funny.
Manipulative.
I'm loving it. Manipulative. I love
that. To run everything. Just to his own design that nobody else seems to understand what it is.
He's a eunuch.
He's a eunuch.
I was going to leave that out to try to get him to get on board with
Varys. No, but you're right. Andy and Varys are cut of the same cloth. Except
and is
for
Varys that. Alive or dead, or is he ex-dead
he's
and now
alive?
Alive?
No, he's alive.
He's alive,
he's alive again?
No, he's alive.
He's somewhere far away, and nobody knows what his motives are, and he seems to be really annoyed that he's even there to begin with.
And does he go home and dance with his dragon?
He has no dragon.
Nope. Oh, he has no dragon. Oh, we have that in common.
He's a perfectly normal character in all respects.
And what is he doing on Game of Thrones?
He's just running the joint, and nobody knows why. And
he collects intelligence.
You mean occasionally you cut to this guy, and there's no real reason yet for him?
Well, nobody's really sure what his job is, but he seems to be manipulating everything to his benefit.
So he could end up on top of the pile, on top of the heap.
Could very well, and he would probably do it with a witty one-liner.
I got to get me some of them witty one-liners.
Yeah.
People love them. Chicks love them.
Yep.
That'll win me Veronica's heart back, maybe. Hey, thanks very much for calling.
Yep.
Have you figured out what I have in common with George Martin yet?
No.
It's a real thing.
You both hired my brother's penis to play your daughter's bat mitzvah?
No.
Huh. I'm stumped.
No, I don't even know if they were around back then.
Hmm. Back then, George L. Martin's still going strong. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know how old his daughter is, I mean.
Oh, okay.
I can't imagine his young children that young.
Yasha in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Doing great now that you called. You love the show.
Yasha, you love the show?
I love the show.
You can't believe you got through.
I can't believe I got through either.
Thanks. Oh, okay. Now, are you a fan of Game of Thrones?
I have to be honest with you. I relate to you, how you feel, because for the last 5 years or however long it's been on, I have resisted and avoided it.
Right.
Because
you have a life.
Reasons,
yeah.
It's got torture. It's got horrible, bloody, graphic violence.
Yeah.
I'm really not interested in that. And everyone I know said, stay away from it. You'll hate it because you don't have the stomach for
it. I don't like where this story's going.
The bloody.
I don't like where this is going.
The flaying.
Oh, no.
Genitalia.
But.
And so,
oh, no.
But.
It got you. Yeah.
Last May, April, we went to Iceland.
Yeah.
And when I came back from Iceland, I started Googling, indigenous animals of Iceland. And a YouTube video came up of the endangered indigenous Icelandic goat. And there was a great YouTube video of the dragons from the Game of Thrones abducting the goat and flying through the air with this goat.
Yeah.
I happened upon it quite by accident.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw the dragons, I said, I need to see more dragons.
Because the dragons were just so beautifully
crafted. The dragons
were
pretty
so
crafted. Yeah, they're
I
pretty
can't
cool.
Curse on the air. They were so majestic and so incredibly beautiful and so realistic and so magical and so otherworldly.
Oh, we've lost you. We've lost you
me.
Too. You're gone.
Completely.
You're
me.
Gone, girl, gone. Oh, goodbye. We've lost you. The real world misses you.
I'm so happy to be in the other world.
We're happy to have you here.
Okay.
Thanks, Yasha.
Thanks, Yasha.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
You.
It's called The Great Gatsby. Write it down, Ken.
You'd be happy to get a tenth of the viewership that Game of Thrones is getting.
That's true. It's all true on my little Netflix show.
On your new Netflix show.
Going to have to add some dragons. On my Netflix show, get this. This is going to rock your world.
Yes.
Some character dies on my Netflix show.
Uh-huh.
They're gone, baby, gone. We don't bring them back.
Well, most
That's how we do death on our show.
Yeah.
Little unorthodox.
Most people who die on Game of Thrones remain dead.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's whatever the writers feel like doing after they get their sushi lunch.
Well, if they die...
Hey, let's bring them back. And everyone laughs. Yeah, that'll make Ken Friedman and his ilk happy. It makes no sense, though, somebody says. Shut up, the other guys say. What's he doing in here? Talking about logic. Talking about consistency. Continuity. Shut up!
You should take a couple of suggestions from the Game of Thrones writers. They're obviously doing something very, very right.
Well, they are. They have your number.
They've
that's for
created
sure.
a cultural phenomenon.
I got to do that too.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to do that, but you know, I get so busy. Other things come up.
Yeah. Write it down. Cultural phenomenon.
All right. Yeah. Hey, can you guess what George Martin and I have in common?
No.
Don't you want to play 20 questions? It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't lie to you. If I was going to lie to you, wouldn't it be a more interesting lie than that? Like about Ray Davies?
Ray Davies' slaves?
He had one slave for a couple of years.
One slave.
And then there was this. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember
in
that.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
And then there was this huge uproar, and he released the slave. It was an indentured servant, yeah. Ray Davies of the Kinks.
Does George L. Martin have a Korean boy?
He does not. All right, I'm gonna tell you what.
That's not one of my 20. Oh, good. Tell us.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Are you ready to go? Go to Google.
Okay.
Go to Google, young man. Go like the wind.
I'm there.
Are you?
I'm there.
Okay. Google George Martin.
George L.L. Martin.
Okay, whatever. And then Game of Thrones. You can just say Thrones. And now Google this word, Word Star. It's 8 letters.
Oh my God! He still uses Word Star.
Now hit search.
Oh, my God.
Hit search.
Oh, my God.
There it is. There's a picture
Let
of
me
the
explain.
Screen.
Andy, when Andy buys a new computer these days, yeah. he has his son,
Wait,
Josh.
Wait, no. Andy and George R.R. Martin. We have that in common.
Oh, George R.R. Martin.
Yeah,
okay.
There it is.
When Andy and George R.R. Martin, when Andy buys his new computers,
yeah.
he has his son, Josh, modify it. So that it boots up in DOS, MS-DOS.
Yeah.
So that Andy can use...
The word program
that he started using in 1985.
That's right, the one I learned on.
Called WordStar.
It's so old, it has a... You want to hear how old it is? It's so primitive, it has a spell check in it.
Uh-huh.
Hi, gals. It has a spell check in it. And if you write the word internet... In a document, the spell check says the word does not exist. It doesn't. My word processing program doesn't know the word internet.
I bet you there's a whole lot of words here. Yeah, word processing.
That's true.
And not only that, not only do you...
Wait, but it's me and George R. Martin. He writes all the Game of Thrones books on WordStar.
Wow. WordStar 4.0?
WordStar 4.0.
No, you're using WordStar 3.0.
Well, look, the guys who invented WordStar, they're long dead. Their children might be dead. No, the company's long gone, and it's just being passed down from computer to computer.
Well, George R.R. Martin might bring them back to life.
But he swears by it, and I understand why. It works for me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because you don't like change. And you also have one doc. As far as I know, you have one document in WordStar, right?
I have. What do you mean?
Oh, you have lots of documents.
Well, I have all my scripts. I have a lifetime of scripts,
okay.
A whole career.
Okay, but you have one document that has all your jokes.
I have one file where I pour, where I kind of throw jokes and ideas and stray thoughts.
What would you do if Word starts?
How could it ever end? You just copy it from one computer to another. I have it on all my machines.
I guess if you can no longer get a computer that boots up in DOS.
Well, no. Actually, the new computers don't have DOS, but Josh, my genius son, found some DOS substitute program.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And maybe George Martin could talk to Josh if he needs help.
Jeff in Detroit, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I love the show.
Thanks, Jeff. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Ken?
It does. More to me than to you, though.
I just wanted to mention, you know, I've heard a lot of Game of Thrones lovers on the air so far, and I had to call in to voice my general distaste for the show. I think it's a horrible affliction, ruining a lot of people's, you know, literary and other critical ability. You know, it's probably one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life. I watched the first episode, thought it was terrible.
I can just tell from just from Jeff's comments, you know what I know about Jeff?
What?
I can do a little deduction.
Yeah.
He's been outside. Mm-hmm. He likes to go outside. He has a life.
I spend tons of time outside.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
I'm actually outside right now. And
there, exactly. Our one call from outside. Jeff, I've never seen even one episode, but I guess I'll give it a try. I hear the dragons are beautifully rendered.
You can see plenty of beautifully rendered dragons without watching that television show.
Exactly.
300 hours. YouTube video is enough.
So, Jeff, are there any television shows you like?
You know, House of Cards was okay for a second, but generally speaking, I think television shows tend to be pretty shallow.
Not enough dragons in House of Cards for Ken. House of Cards, someone died in that first season, and get this, Ken. You never saw him again.
Not true. Doug Stamper died, and he came back to life.
I don't know enough to argue with
you. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. You keep avoiding that TV.
You got it.
That got Jeff's okay with me.
Yeah. Because he hates Game of Thrones.
So hey, if Beth calls, you want to play My Wife is Smarter Than Your Wife?
Yes, absolutely. I'm ready to play.
Now I've scared her.
I'm ready to
hey,
play.
What can I do to win Veronica's heart back? She used to really be a fan of mine.
Yeah.
What can I do? Pretty hat?
$400 gift card to Home Depot?
A sincere apology?
Yes. Sincere.
No, I'll do
that. Yes, a sincere
apology. I'll do the gift card. I'd rather do that.
Okay, sounds good.
So it's a lot less painful.
$400. Because the person who won the gift card last week never emailed me to collect
it. Oh, yeah. Wait, I have a gift card to send to someone.
So you should give that. So make it $425 for Veronica.
But I couldn't trust Veronica
because she is a woman.
Because she, I think, has Beth's email. She would have warned Beth. I was just scared.
She would not have warned her.
I was a scared. You know that sisterhood thing.
I know she would.
They don't even have to. They don't even have to use email. You know they can use telepathy. They just kind of. They're all on some wavelength together.
She would not have told Beth if you didn't want her to tell Beth. That's why
I was scared.
That's why she's so mad.
Is she mad or hurt?
Both.
Would you say she's more mad or more hurt?
I'd say 60% mad, 40% hurt.
She needs a good old sponge bath.
But you're sending all your sponges to Houston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. They needed more than you, Veronica. Tampons, extra tampons and sponges. We're collecting them all here at WFMU on Montgomery Street in Jersey City. And we'll ship them out to Houston.
No.
They've got a big, big problem down there, folks. You don't believe me? Look at any newspaper or news website. I'm not joking. That's a real thing.
Send your
They've got a real problem. You think I'm joking? I joke around a lot, but this is for real.
Send your sponges to Casa del Breckman.
No.
Madison.
No. They'll really send. I don't want people's sponges.
Madison, New Jersey.
No. For the love of God.
If you go on Google, you'll find Andy's
home
address.
What would I do? Don't send me your damn sponges.
Tampons? Super absorbent tampons.
Look, if you're going to send tampons to Houston, and no joking around, we joke around a lot, they should be super absorbent.
Okay.
Those people are in real trouble.
Thank you to Nick the Bard. Thank you to Veronica for writing the newsletter and dealing with Andy and my
deception.
My deception as well.
And
thank you, Michelle Mealy.
Who?
Michelle Mealy, our thank you girl.
Yep.
And this is WFMU East Orange.
Oh, hey, I'll be Are you around next week?
I am.
I'm going to have to Skype in.
Excellent. This is WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org.
And you've been listening to My Wife is Smarter Than Your Wife.
And coming up next, it's In Real Life with Emily and Kim Zilla.
Hey, you want to see some home movies I took? Huh? Okay. Hey, Ernie, roll them. Yeah, now. Good. Okay. Now, oh, these are going to be really exciting, okay? I used Ernie's camera on these. See? It's a pigeon. Oh, I love pigeons more than anything else in this world, besides oatmeal. Oh, now watch how these pigeons move. I took these pictures in Asbury Park. Look at the neck. Look at them move. Look at those feet. Oh, and see, I feel these pigeons are really unusually intelligent birds. I threw those breadcrumbs down and they knew just where to look for them. Now, watch this. This is exciting. This is exciting. Oh, see that? Huh? Oh, wow. Now, there's some more. They'll fly in a second. There they are. Oh, now, look at the balance on these pigeons. Look at the balance. Well, it's going to fail. Now, see the one with the feathers? Right behind. Oh, you didn't see him. That was Bernie. He's really a character. I tell you. Boy, just looking at these pigeons makes me feel terrific.
Good evening, lifers. You're listening to In Real Life. I'm Emily.
And I'm Kim Zilla. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome to another exciting edition of In Real Life, where this week, I feel like we really really spread our wings as interviewers.
Oh, Jesus, you know? I'm not doing this game. This is way too corny for me. I think our listeners will know what it is based off of our little teaser intro, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we don't even need to talk.
We just...
let's just chill out.
All right, cool.
I'm going to actually be posting pictures today.
Oh, yes!
So don't forget to go to wfmu.org/playlists and comments. Mm-hmm. And while we're playing this interview, mm-hmm. I'll show you some of the pictures from that day, which are great.
And you can chat with us a little bit on the message board
mm-hmm.
While that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We should tell them.
We should tell them?
Yeah.
All right. So this week, our episode is about pigeons and the people who love them.
And it's not about clay pigeon. I just want to...
It's not about clay pigeon. Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an actual interview as part of our On the Road series.
Yeah.
So we went, where did we go?
We went to Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Yeah, the pigeon capital.
The pigeon flying capital of...
Is it the world?
The world?
No.
The U.S.?
Maybe.
The country?
Oh, man.
It's at least the pigeon flying capital of the country.
Pat'll tell us.
But Pat'll tell us.
Pat'll tell us.
Pat McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, is our pigeon keeper extraordinaire, our pigeoner, as he likes to be called.
Yeah.
Who will be taking us through a grand odyssey of pigeon facts and information. And
I think what we're going to do is pretty much let you listen to him
and then let Pat tell the story.
I think we should have our listeners, we give them a little bit of homework, because this one stumped everybody upstairs.
Yeah. Oh, the question? How many holes does a pigeon have?
Yeah, from the neck down. Let's just make it easy.
Yeah, from the neck down. We're not going to make you do weird math and like, try and figure out whether an eye is a hole or not, because like a lot of debate can be done about
Don't
that.
Google it. We just want you to focus on the show. Yeah. and maybe another question is, what is Pat's nickname? So pay attention, and we'll be back. Once we play this wonderful interview, after these messages.
We'll be right back. What is that from?
TV.
TV. Makes sense. All right.
See you in a little bit, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Pat?
Emily.
Hi, Patrick.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
The wheels are taken off, but this is a rickshaw I built, and I rode with some pigeons to Montauk last week.
Oh,
on my bicycle.
Cool.
I pulled it from my bicycle.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It took three days. And we just brought it back.
How far did you go? From here to Montauk?
From here to Montauk. It was 125 miles. It took 3 days, very slowly, very painfully.
With pigeons.
Wow.
There were four pigeons in here. So I picked like I'm an artist. I'm a sculptor. It's my job. And I did a show.
Can you just introduce yourself?
My name's Pat McCarthy. I fly pigeons in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Bushwick being the pigeon flying capital of the country.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's a lot of flyers here because pigeon flyers like to be up on the roof close to other pigeon flyers so we could show off how well our birds fly to each other. So I was doing a sculpture show in Montauk, and that was a bunch of pigeon world stuff. And Montauk being like the classic hipster getaway, summer getaway, I picked the four best birds that flew the strongest and the most bravely over the summer, and they earned summer vacation. So we all biked out there together.
Oh.
Wait, so you brought your birds just there for rest and relaxation?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Just four of them, there are many upstairs, you'll see. In keeping birds for so long, in keeping pigeons, for so long, like as the...